Hey friends, we're Pastors Jason and Tiffany, and we want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Today, we're in a series called Summer Life at Word of Life, all about the keys for living a successful life.
It's our prayer today that you open your heart to hear what God has to say to you. Let's go to the message.
All right, we're going to make a confession this morning out of Romans, the eighth chapter, verse number 11. And it says this. I'm just going to break this down. You can repeat it back after me. Okay, ready? One, two, three, go. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, we'll do it again. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is in me. Say that again. Is in me. One more time, is in me. Where is the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead?
In me.
In me, in you. That same spirit gives life to my mortal body. That same spirit gives life to my mortal body. Once you get a hold of this, you may be seated. Once you get a hold of this truth. In fact, last night I was on my deck praying and meditating and fellowshipping with the Lord, and that began to rise up out of my spirit. The spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead is in me. Praise God. And he is called the spirit of life. Praise God. He's the spirit of life. So if the spirit of life is in me, then what is it going to produce? Life. Praise God. Now, get this. Sickness and disease, which side is it on, life or death? Anybody ever heard of people getting sick and coming to life? No. People get sick and die. That ought to tell you something right there, that sickness is always on the side of death, but the spirit of life is in you. Now, I'm going to repeat things a bunch of times today, all right? So the reason I'm doing that is because I want you to get this. We've been working on for years now changing and transforming our thinking. Now, I'm going to say this. Your thinking is not going to be transformed if the only time you hear this stuff is on Sunday morning. Your thinking is going to be transformed because you put forth the effort to hear the Word of God. You are transformed by looking at Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says we all with unveiled face. That's with nothing obstructing our vision. We all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. So the Spirit of God is revealing Jesus to you. And the more you look at Jesus, the more you become transformed. Now, get this. Your spirit doesn't need to be transformed. Your spirit was recreated in Christ Jesus. Praise God. He moved on the inside of you, but there's something between your ears called your mind, and your mind needs to be renewed to think differently. And, you know, it is a proven fact that we learn by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing over and over and over again. What you hear repetitively will begin to affect your thinking. Praise God. So, you know, there are some, you know, I'm not the only guy in the world teaching this stuff. There are some others in fact, I get things from others myself. And learn things from others that are preaching this kind of thing. I'm not the only guy that's preaching this. And if you really want to learn and grow in the grace of God, if you really want to learn and grow in this new creation reality, you're going to have to, on purpose, find people that are feeding your mind on this stuff. Praise God. And you're going to have to reject the ones that are feeding you some other stuff. How many know that there is some junk food out there? Now, you could live on junk food. You know, you probably won't live as long on junk food. You know, you won't live as long if McDonald's is all you eat every day. You can live on that for a while. You can't live as well on that. You know, you're going to begin to suffer if all you ever eat is McDonald's. And I, you know, if you like a Big Mac, then go for it. But you're going to have to choose. You know, you're going to have to choose. Are you going to feed on spiritual junk, or are you going to feed on spiritually nutritious food? Praise God. Jesus said, I am the bread come down from heaven. That's the food you need to be eating. Praise God. You need to be partaking of Jesus. Praise God. And if you'll do that, then your thinking will become transformed and changed. Praise God. So I'm trying to get you to feed on the good stuff. Praise God. I'm trying to get you to think right. If your thinking is messed up, your life's going to be messed up. If you'll get your thinking right, then your life will be right. You can live out what God intended for you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, some of us, you know, we ate a whole lot of junk food in the past. You know, some of us that were hungry for the Word of God, we didn't know. We just saw it as food, and we ate it. Right. But it wasn't good food. Right. It wasn't nutritious for our spirit. Right. We ate a whole bunch of junk food. And today, we're having to get the junk food consequences out. How many of you find yourself thinking sometimes, and you say something, and as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you know, that wasn't right? Anybody honest enough to say that? You know, it comes out of your mouth, and I don't mean you cussed. I mean, you might as well have, because you cursed yourself. But as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you know that wasn't right. Pastor's been teaching us better than that. You know, what I just said, Father, forgive me. forgive me, and Holy Spirit, help me to transform my thinking. Yes. Praise God. The reason you said it is because you're still thinking it. You don't say things you're not thinking. If you said it, you're thinking it. So let that be a revelation to you. Well, I didn't mean to say, no, you meant to. Be honest, say, yeah, that thinking was in there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that thinking to me. That's what you need to do. Don't get condemned over it. Be transformed. Praise God. Don't get condemned. Well, I said something stupid. I said something, you know, well, I've been walking in this for a long time. I shouldn't be thinking that way. No, you shouldn't, but you did. So let's be honest and let's say that's what I was thinking. But I don't want to think that. I know better than that. I want to think right, praise God, so I can believe right. And if I believe right, then I'll have right. Praise God. Praise God. So notice what that passage said that we just had the confession. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He lives in you. This is Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. The spirit of him. God raised Jesus from the dead. The spirit of God dwells in you. You know, we don't have to beg Holy Spirit to come. We don't have to try to persuade him to come. And you know what? He is here even when we don't know he's here. Even when we are believing wrong, he's still here. You know, we don't have to sing just the right songs that get him to come. I mean, Holy Spirit is not, is, you know, he's not hovering in the atmosphere thing. There's my song. I'm going to go there. You know what? He is here, and he even endures bad songs because he's not leaving. I mean, think of it. I know some people, well, I don't like that music. I'm leaving. And I'm sad to say we've had some that have done that. You know, I don't like that music, so I'm leaving. Except Holy Spirit doesn't like it any more than you do, but he didn't leave. He stayed. Praise God. And he will stay. And we could sing the worst possible. I ought to challenge Jasmine on this. She wouldn't do it, but well, she probably would because I told her to, but I'm not going to tell you to. Okay, but you know, because she understands submission to authority, and so, I'm not going to ask you to do this. It's a dumb idea, but it makes a point. Okay, the idea is we have a set list of the worst possible Christian worship songs that could be. And we do that. That's all we do on a Sunday morning. Holy Spirit would still be here. I'm making a point. You know, that's a really bad idea. And Jasmine, please don't do that. But Holy Spirit would still be here because he doesn't come and go. The spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He lives in you. You are his house. Praise God. He will correct you, but he's not leaving. Praise God. He doesn't leave when you fail. He doesn't leave when you make mistakes. He doesn't leave when you believe dumb things. He stays because he is in. See, if he did, you couldn't change. You'd never be able to change if he was like that. If he just came and stayed until something happened that he didn't like and then he leaves. He came to help you change. Praise God. And you could not change if he didn't stay. You would have no desire to change if he didn't stay. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I mean, have you ever known people that they get upset if you say something they disagree with? They get all upset. You know what? Holy Spirit is not offended by that, and he doesn't. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Offense is a human weakness, and he doesn't have any. So he's not offended I hear people say, well, I'd rather offend men than to offend God. Well, I can't offend God because he doesn't have any human weaknesses. He helps me change. He corrects me. He tells me what I should believe instead. But he doesn't get all upset and all worked up about it. People do that. He doesn't. Praise God. Praise God. Now, back to our verse. The spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If he raised up Jesus from the dead, what does that tell you that he is capable of? And where does he dwell? In you. So that means that life-giving power is not only available to you, it is in you. You may not feel like there's life-giving power in you, but I'm telling you, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then life-giving power is in you. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, when did he move in? I heard it. Surely there's some more people there that know that. When did he move in? When you received Jesus. He moved in on the inside of you, and when he moved in on the inside of you, life-giving power moved in. And life-giving power is, it was in you to cause your spirit to live. So you were dead in trespasses and sins, but when he moved in, he made you alive. But here's what he said. Not only did he make you spiritually alive, but he also shall quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Now, we're not going to give a healing line at the end of this. And the reason we're not is because if you'll pay attention to me, you can walk out of here healed without me ever praying for you. Praise God. Praise God. If you pay attention, not wandering off somewhere else, not wondering who is messaging you. Holy Spirit's messaging you right now. Yeah. Praise God. Holy Spirit is messaging you. Now, don't look at your phone for it unless your Bible's on the phone. He might speak to you through your phone if your Bible's on there. But, you know, he is messaging you right now. I'm here. I'm in you. I am giving life to your mortal body right now. Praise God. Praise God. You don't have to wait for the sermon to be over. You don't have to wait for a prayer line, because there's not going to be one. You'll be waiting a while. Praise God. The best way, you see, there's more than one way in the Bible for healing to take place. There's more than one way. And some of those ways are for unbelievers. You know, I've told you that the gifts of the Spirit are of more value over the back fence than on the front pew. Yes. Yes. That's good. Praise God, because the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings, are not for believers. Right. That doesn't mean you can't receive from them. You can. But I'm telling you, you don't have to wait for a gift of the Spirit to be in manifestation. Yes. Praise God, because that's not God's highest and best way. God's highest and best way is for you to just believe this. This right here, and I'm not talking about just ink on page, on paper. I'm talking about the revelation that's in here. This right here will heal your body. Praise God. This right here will let you know who you are. This right here is all you need as a believer. Praise God. So today, while we're sharing from this, receive the word. When you receive the word, then you come to a revelation that the healing anointing is in me. The same spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's there to stay. He's not leaving. And he has the same ability in you that he had when he raised Jesus from the dead. He will quicken. That word quicken, that doesn't mean he makes you fast. All right? That means he makes you alive. Praise God. And every symptom of death in your body has to go. Praise God. Now, if you want to invite some guests over to the house, to your house, you know, your body, if you want to invite some guests in, you know, that Holy Spirit's really not very fond of, like sickness, disease, pain. If you want to invite those guests in, he'll let you bring them in. If you want to, I don't know why you would, but if you want to, but if you want to get rid of them, he is in you and he will be your enforcer and he'll drive them out. So right now, whatever is going on in your body that's not supposed to be going on, you speak to it right now. So you got to go. You got to go. Call it by name. Tell you got to go. Pain, you got to go. You know, diabetes, you got to go. Cancer, you got to go. Blood disease, you got to go. Heart disease, you got to go. You're not welcome in this house. Pain, you're not welcome in this house. Holy Spirit lives in this house, and he didn't like you here, and I don't like you here, so you got to go. The same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in this house. In fact, it's not just, he doesn't just live here, it's his house. You got to go. Got to go. You can't stay. You will not be tolerated here. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And as the resident of the house, as the master of the house, he makes this body alive. Alive. That means if you got some part of your body that's trying to shut down on you, what it's doing is trying to die. It's trying to die. And he says he will make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. You want to walk out of here healed today? Praise God. Accept what I'm saying to you today. Accept it. Because it will drive death out of your body. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I guess maybe we ought to get to the main point of the message. The title of the message today. Talk about two kinds of trees. Or two trees that represent two kinds of wisdom. That's what I was trying to say. Two trees that represent two kinds of wisdom. Now, how many know, by the way, if you'll scan this, you can get all the notes. I'm going to preach to you this morning. We're not going to turn to a bunch of stuff. I'm going to preach some things, but they're all in there. So you know where it's coming from. You know how I arrived at it. Praise God. It's all in the outlines. But in the Garden of Eden, Bible says that God planted a garden, all created all the trees of the garden that were good for food, planted all these trees, and he gave Adam access to all these trees. And then there, it points out very specifically that there were two trees in the middle of the garden. One of them was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other tree was called the tree of life. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the tree of life because things kind of went off course. And man became obsessed with this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Eve saw this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the other tree was right there next to it. You've heard the expression, couldn't see the forest for the trees. God gave them all the trees of the garden, and the only one she could see was the one tree. So I modified that just a little bit, and I said she couldn't see the forest for the tree, for the one tree. And she saw that it was good for food and desirable to make one wise. Now, as soon as she saw that it was desirable to make one wise, see, the serpent then said, if you'll eat from this tree, God didn't want you to eat from this tree because he knows that if you eat from this tree, you're going to be like God. Well, she forgot what God already said. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion. In other words, she was already like God. Already like God. Now, let me say this to you. Well, I'm just trying to be Christ-like. You're doing just what Eve did. The devil doesn't care if you try to be Christ-like. In fact, he likes you to try to be Christ-like. Because if he can keep you trying to be Christ-like, then you don't remember that you are Christ-like. Praise God. If he can keep you trying to become like Jesus. Well, I just want to be like Jesus. What part of joined to the Lord and one spirit with him, do you not understand? He who is joined to the Lord has become one spirit with him. Praise God. That means he moved in and joined himself to you. That's why he can't leave, because he joined himself to you. It's like this. You are one spirit with the Lord. So stop trying to be like Jesus and realize you are like Jesus. I didn't say you're Jesus, but you are like Jesus because you have been joined to him. Praise God. Eve did not realize she was already like God. Praise God. And religious people, they'd be having a heyday with this sermon today. Religious people wouldn't care for this one at all. They'd be calling me a heretic. But that's all right. They can call me whatever they want. I'm just going with what the Bible says. Okay? In Genesis 2, verse 9, it says, out of the ground the Lord God caused every tree to grow, which is pleasant in the sight of God. It was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what did she receive when she ate from this tree that was desirable to make one wise? She received a kind of wisdom that had not existed in the earth before. She received, how did she come in contact, or how does she know about this? She saw something. She saw, and let me just say this, that the wisdom that she received, she got wisdom, all right, but it wasn't the kind of wisdom you want. She got wisdom that is from the five physical senses, from what I see, hear, taste, touch, smell. She got wisdom that came through those five physical senses. And what the five physical senses will tell you is a wisdom that is contrary to the wisdom that comes by the Spirit of God. There was a man named Solomon. Who knows who Solomon is? You know who Solomon is? The Solomon asked the Lord for the wisdom to rule the people. Solomon got wisdom, but the wisdom Solomon got was not the kind of wisdom you want. It was the wisdom that came through the sight, through the hearing. He got wisdom that came through the five physical senses. In fact, if you will read the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a man who is known as the wisest man to ever live, which I'll refute that. There was none like him before, and there was none like him after, but that doesn't mean he's the wisest man that ever lived. There is a wisdom that supersedes his wisdom. But if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he's called the preacher there. And this preacher was preaching what a lot of preachers are preaching. But he said, well, I looked and I saw this that was going on in the earth. And everything is vanity. I saw that, this is what happened to the sons of men. And everything is vanity. And he kept thinking, so do I really want a wisdom that makes me believe everything's vain? There's no point to anything? He said, in fact, in one place in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's there in your notes, in one place in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, men are no different from animals. He said, there's no purpose for their life. They just are here. This stuff happens to them. They die just like an animal. The only difference is, man goes up and animal goes down. That's the only difference between you and an animal. That's what this one who you want his wisdom, this is what he said. He said, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. That's what Solomon said. So do we want to read Solomon and think, oh man, if Solomon thought everything was vain? I'm not saying you shouldn't read Solomon's writings. I'm not saying you shouldn't. There's some good things that in the book of Ecclesiastes, some truth there. And all of the wisdom of Solomon, it's not lies, it's truth. But it's not truth for the new creation. There's a difference. We wouldn't say Solomon was lying. He wasn't lying. He got this wisdom. He observed, he looked, and saw what was going on in the earth. And indeed, it was what he said. But it's not for the new creation. Solomon was not born again. Solomon did not have the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwelling on the inside of him. All Solomon had was this physical world. You see, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree they had been commanded not to eat of, what happened there? Then they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, and they were afraid. Fear had never been in the earth before. So suddenly, when they ate of this tree, they were now afraid. And they said, we're afraid because we were naked. They saw something. Their five physical senses contacted something. And their five physical senses said, you're naked, and this is not right. So you should be afraid. And so they were afraid. God came and he said, who told you you're naked? Well, you know, Eve, she ate of this fruit, and then she gave it to me, and, you know, tasted pretty good, but, you know, I'm not really feeling real good right now. But fear entered in. And the Bible says that Jesus came and he freed those who through the fear of death were subject to it, were slaves to it all their life. Now, if you want to walk in the wisdom of Solomon, if you want to walk in the wisdom that Adam and Eve gained from eating of this tree, the truth is, most Christians walk in that wisdom. And they think they're really wise. After all, Solomon also said, you're like a dog. That's what he said. He said, you're no different than a dog. You know, you both die. You go up, he goes down. Not much difference. Solomon comes down to the end of his life, or the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he says, this is what I concluded. Now get it, this is a man who he had tried everything. He had experienced everything. He had seen everything there was to see. This is a man who thought it was a good idea to have 700 wives. Now, are you now questioning his wisdom? Oh, 700. Now, he said, this is my conclusion, that the whole duty of man is to keep God's commandments. But here's what, let me explain Solomon's jaded thinking towards God. This was his view of God after all of the stuff he had seen and experienced. He said, the whole purpose for man is just to try to keep God happy. I mean, do you see the sarcasm in his overtone there? The whole duty of man is just try to keep God happy. And, you know, that's the only reason you're here, is try to keep God happy. Did you know that God didn't create you to worship him? He didn't create you to love him. God has worshipers that are around the throne of God. 24/7, 365. Well, actually, there is no time in his realm, so eternally. These worshipers are continuously, all the time, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's got worship. He doesn't need your worship. Psalm 50, he says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I wouldn't say, can you buy me lunch? If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I got a steak anytime I want it. Cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I don't need your food. If I was hungry, I wouldn't take a goat from your house, is what he said. I got goats if I want one. Cattle on 1,000 hills. And so, you know, is that what God's after? No, absolutely not. Does God need you to love him? Well, here's what God created you for. He wanted children. He wanted children. And children, how many know, how many of you have children? Okay, if you are a parent of children, you know children don't always love you. Children don't always like you. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And, you know, God wanted children, but ultimately they love you. I mean, there's days when they don't think they do, but here's the thing. God didn't create you to love him. He created you to love you. Not for you to love you, but he created you so he could love you. Let me say that again. God created you so he could love you. He wanted someone to pour out his love upon. And that happened to be you. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am the object of God's affection. He created you so he could love you. Not because he needed something from you. He wanted to love someone that was like him. So he created you. And then when Adam sinned, when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree he had been commanded not to eat of, the eyes, what eyes were opened? His physical eyes were opened. He could see, the eyes of his mind, let me say it that way. But then the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He prayed that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what they are, who they are, what they have in Christ. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You see, there's two kinds of wisdom. There is the wisdom that Solomon tapped into and he mastered. Solomon was a master of the wisdom of the five senses. I saw this, I heard this, I experienced this, and it was vanity and grasping for the wind. And now if I can just keep God happy. That was Solomon's wisdom. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he said, but eye has not seen. Solomon's wisdom came by seeing with the eye. He said, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. In other words, the five physical senses, you didn't receive this by your five physical senses. So there's something beyond that. And he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So you did not receive it through the five senses, but you received it by the revelation of the Spirit of God. And how did that happen? You ate from the other tree. You ate from the tree of life. Adam and Eve couldn't eat from that tree once they had eaten of the other tree. They couldn't eat from that tree anymore because God did not want them to live on in a fallen condition. He didn't want them to live forever in a fallen condition. But praise God, now the tree of life has been made available to you and I. And I will submit this to you, probably not literally, but possibly, that the cross was made from the wood of the tree of life. I said, possibly, you know? I mean, we know that trees can, some species of trees can live, you know, and why not one that's called the tree of life? In fact, the Bible tells us that the tree of life is going to be in the New Jerusalem. So is it possible that there was a branch or a limb or a part of the tree of life that the wood from that was used to make a cross that Jesus was nailed on? Now, I mean, that don't write that down and say, Pastor Daniel said this, because Pastor Daniel's just speculating right here. Okay. That maybe the one thing I do know, this is not speculation, that the cross became the tree of life to you. And what happened on that tree opened you up and made you a recipient of the wisdom of God. The wisdom that, you see, it was a mystery. People talk, well, God moves in mysterious ways. No, God moved in mysterious ways. Not anymore. So turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't move in mysterious ways anymore. He moved in mysterious ways. But praise God, today he makes, now there's a reason why he moved in mysterious ways. Had to be a mystery, because otherwise he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil would not have crucified the Lord of glory if he had understood the wisdom of God. But this wisdom of God was kept a secret. Why? Paul says this. He says, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So that, he said, none of the rulers, none of them. That would include Solomon, right? So Solomon could not tap into this hidden wisdom. And he says it was hidden before the ages for our glory. And he says, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, he says, now this manifold wisdom of God is being made known not just to the church, but also to the devil. It was kept a secret from the devil until he had nailed Jesus to the cross. Once he had done that, it's too late. Now let's blow the lid off this thing and let's make it all available. Let's make it all understandable. You see, but so many people are still operating in Solomon's wisdom. So many people are still operating according to the wisdom of this age, according to the wisdom that comes through sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. They're still operating according to the wisdom that says, I got pain in my body. They're still operating according to the wisdom that says, but I have this disease. They're still operating according to the wisdom that says, but, you know, this and that, and looking at what the circumstances and the situations are according to their physical senses, and they're saying this is the way, they're operating according to the natural wisdom. But Paul says we need to get out of that, get out of Adam, get out of the mind game, get out of what the devil's trying to play on you, and get over into the wisdom of God that says Jesus was nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became, past tense, sin for you. Praise God. And if he became sin for you and he was nailed to a cross, then sin was nailed to a cross. Praise God. If Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, what did he do there? He was buried physically, but he also was buried as your sin. And you see, sickness and disease, death, which we said sickness and disease is really death on a certain degree or a certain level. Sickness and disease is death. So if he died your death and he was buried, then that means your sickness and your disease, which was a result of the fear that came into the world through Adam's sin. Fear came in, and the Bible says that those that do not know Jesus as their Savior, those who don't have this life of God on the inside of them, it says that they were subject to death through the fear of death. It was the fear of death that made them subject to death. The fear of death that made them subject to death. How many people are fearful and terrified of the when they hear the word cancer? Anybody, you've been touched by that. Maybe you've heard the word cancer and fear tried to grip your heart. You see, that is what the scripture is talking about, that through the fear of death, you've been subject to this all your life, but Jesus came to free you from the fear. And when he frees you from the fear, he frees you from the cancer. When he frees you from the fear, he freed you from the diabetes. When he freed you from the fear of death, he freed you from the heart disease. When he freed you from the fear of death, he freed you from every other sickness and every other disease, because he dealt with it on the cross, and he freed you from the fear, and fear was the source. Praise God. Now, when I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, okay, well, I'm not afraid to die. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, well, I know where I'm going, so I'm not afraid to die. See, this is where most Christians are. Well, you know, I know where I'm going, so, you know, I'm not afraid to die. Well, that's great. You know you're going to be with the Lord, and if you die, you're going to be, no. Fear of death, not fear of, but I'm talking about all of the degrees of death, the consequences of death working. You see, he freed you from all of that. It is the fear that kept you in bondage. It is fear today that keeps you in bondage. It is the fear that keeps you from walking on in the healing and the health that's on the inside of you. Are we getting somewhere this morning? Are we getting somewhere? You know, because this is not to condemn anyone who's been in bondage. This is to free everybody who's been in bondage. Praise God. Now, if you let the devil bring in a spirit of offense, you'll get offended at what I'm saying today, and you can't get free. But if you'll hear what I'm saying and say, this is God's word, and God's word wants you free from the bondage to fear of death. Praise God. I am not afraid of whatever they say I have. I'm not afraid of that, because I have a greater one living on the inside of me that is making me alive. And life and death cannot coexist. I've got life on the inside of me. I have life on the inside of me. Say it to somebody around you. Say, I got life on the inside of me. Now shout it at the top of your voice, I got life on the inside of me. And the spirit of life on the inside of me has freed me from the fear of death. Praise God. I'm not afraid of death. Doesn't mean I'm not afraid to die, I'm not. But that's not what that means. That means I am not afraid of whatever death that the devil may try to put on me, because I have life. Yeah. And fear and death cannot coexist with life and peace. He who lives according to the flesh, that's the five senses, he who lives according to the flesh will die. But he who lives according to the Spirit will put to death the deeds of the body. He who lives according to the Spirit will put to death the fear of death. Praise God. Because the Spirit of life rising on the inside of you will cause you to overcome. Praise God. I am not afraid of death, because death cannot overcome life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the day comes for me to move out of this body, I die only in this sense, that I become separated from life on this earth. That's the only sense of death I'm going to ever experience. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, one day when I'm finished, that's another sermon in all itself. But one day when I'm finished, didn't say when it's my time. That is the biggest cop-out. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say when it's my time. Well, you know, well, this person just died because it was just their time. No. They agreed that it was their time, so they died. But as long, the Apostle Paul said, I am in a hard place between the two. I want to depart and go be with the Lord, because for me that's far better. He says, but for me to stay here is better for you. So, all right, I talk myself into staying. Paul never gave any kind of indication that whenever God said, it's my time, I got to go. Paul said, whenever I'm finished, when I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself shall give me on that day. He says, I have fought the good fight, I finished my course. I've determined to finish. If you're not finished, then let the Spirit of life on the inside of you give life to your mortal body. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So stir it up. Let it rise in you. Praise God. Take this home. Meditate on it. Find some other people. If you don't know anybody that's preaching this stuff, ask me. I'll tell you. But let the life of God on the inside of you rise up and drive out death. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Get up and say, the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Look in the mirror and point at that guy in the mirror and say, the Spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, and you will live and not die, because the Spirit of life on the inside of you is producing life in every member of your being. Praise God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the temple of the Holy Spirit can't die. Praise God. The temple of the Holy Spirit cannot tolerate death in any degree. Praise God. Praise God. Now, you're going to have to change your thinking. And how serious you get about changing your thinking will determine how fast it's going to work in your life. If you get serious about it, now it's not kind of, well, okay, if I think about it, I'll... No, if you get serious about it, serious about transforming your thinking, the Spirit of him who raised Christ from from the dead dwells in me. And he, doing his job, he always does his job, will make alive my mortal body. I'm not saying you're going to live forever, because there will come a time you just want to go be with the Lord. And that's okay when you want to do that. But let me just challenge you with this. Determine in your heart you're not going to die sick. See, here is God's best for you. God's best for you is not get sick, get healed, get sick, get healed, get sick, get healed. God's best for you is for you to walk in the life that is in you. Praise God. God's best for you is to decide when you're ready to go. God's best for you is to say, I have finished my course, and you sit down in your recliner and you blast off. That's God's plan for you. I've finished. I've done what God's given me to do. I'm satisfied that I have done it. I've done it well. I am content with my life, with the length of my life. Honey, come here. Bring the kids. Call the kids. Have them come over. I want to say goodbye. You know? And so the kids come over. You challenge them to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Make Jesus their everything. You challenge them to take the things that I've taught you, the things that I've demonstrated to you. You challenge them. You carry these things on. You take them on to your generations and to the next generation and the next generation. And you continue and teach them to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children and teach them. And then when you're done, you can go like I'm going. Praise God. I'm going to go on to heaven today, and I love you all. I'll see you when you get there. Praise God. And sit back in your chair. You hug them all, kiss them all, and you go. I mean, does that sound a whole lot better than laying in a hospital with an IV in your arm and an oxygen mask on, and you're barely conscious? And, you know, I just don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. That's not God's plan for you. And you know why most Christians go that way? The reason most Christians go that way is because that's what they've been told they were supposed to do. And they were told there was nothing they could do about it. But the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And he will give life to your mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's on every level. You say, well, I just don't know if I believe that. Well, believe it. Believe it. Decide you're going to believe it. Because otherwise, you can be in the hospital with an IV in your arm and an oxygen mask on. You can go that way if that's what you choose. But you know, you can't choose something unless you know it. And I do know why most preachers don't preach this, because most preachers don't believe this. But when you believe it, you got to preach it. I believe it, I have to preach it. Praise God. Praise God. So, that's what I've decided. How about you? Amen. Praise God. So today, we're going to give you an opportunity if you've never received Jesus as your Lord. Because when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you receive the life. Yes. You receive the life. This is why Jesus said, he who believes upon me would not perish, but have everlasting kind of life. The everlasting kind of life, the eternal life. And that doesn't mean that, well, you'll live in heaven one day. That's what you might have been told by some religious preacher. And you will live in heaven one day. But you can live here. You can live here. And you can't believe what you haven't heard, and you can't hear unless someone preaches it. Praise God. Praise God. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to receive him right now. We're going to make a confession of our faith in him and verbally acknowledge that Jesus is now the Lord. Jesus, I'm signing over this temple, this house. I'm signing it over to you, and it'll be your house. Hallelujah. That's essentially what you're doing. You're signing it over to him, and it becomes his dwelling place, his house. Praise God. And when he moves in, when the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead moves into you, praise God. I'm expecting this morning that the Spirit of life in you is going to drive. I'm expecting some testimonies of how sickness and pain, it was just gone. I just noticed it was just gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's all say this together. And if you believe what you're saying, then according to God's word, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will move on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So say this with me. Say, God in heaven, I believe that Jesus came to this earth, walked this earth as a man, ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, and then he went to a cross, and he died there, paying the penalty for all of my sins. And because he paid the penalty, I will never have to pay the penalty. Because I choose to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
We want to thank you once again for joining us today on our podcast. If you're in the Carlsbad, New Mexico area, we invite you to join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
We also invite you to check out our website at wolcarlsbad.com, where you will find resources from Word of Life and a giving link if you would like to contribute.
One last thing, if this message has blessed your life, then share it with a friend. Have a blessed day, and remember, God is madly in love with you.